welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. I often look into of history on the beginning of our show to give me some idea of what to talk about. I have so many things I'd like to talk to you about. I kind of run through a list. I really don't know what I'm going to say until the show starts. But I noticed that today, on this day in history, in 1783, the first human flight in a hot air balloon in Paris flew. And the first thing that occurred to me was there's still a lot of hot air around. Most of it's in the churches that people go to that they think are the churches. I belong to a church. I go to a church. I'm a part of a church. There's all kinds of churches. It used to be the definition was very specific in the Black's Law Dictionary that the church was established by Jesus Christ. That definition is still there from Black's Third to Black's Ninth, but they've added more definitions. That's usually a sign that something's going on in society. Now you can be a synagogue and be a church. You know, the synagogues went the opposite direction of Jesus Christ. They broke away from the faith of Abraham and Moses and said there was no king but Caesar. And they denounced the king known as Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Anointed, Jesus the Messiah, Yeshua. They denounced him and said they had no king but Caesar, while the apostles were going around saying there is another king, one Jesus, and we ought to obey him rather than men. And today we've got all kinds of ideas in churches like, we're saved by faith, not by works. So we don't have to actually do anything. We're already saved because we believe. We started believing on this day, April 4th, 1986, and so now we're saved because we started believing. Believing in what? Jesus says, not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who do it the will of the Father. But evidently, Jesus is wrong that we're only saved by faith, not those who do it the will of the Father. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and not do the things that I say? But that would be faith. That would be salvation by works. So we can't have that. So we got to get rid of that. Salvation by works is not true. Even though in the Bible it says faith without works is dead. You know, these philosophies created by ministers who love to tickle your ears and say, "Oh, you're saved by this day because this day." Excuse me. This day you started believing. Believing in what? Believing in Jesus. Believing in Yeshua. Believing in the Christ. Believing that he saved us from our sins. But he said those you had to forgive so that ye might be forgiven. You think you're forgiven just because on a particular day you had an emotional experience that said, I believe in Jesus. But I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm here to point out you got a huge wart on the top of your nose that really looks ugly and doesn't look anything like Jesus, and you don't know who Jesus is, and you don't really believe in him. You believe in a concept that's been handed down to you by ministers who would like to enslave you to ideas as well as let you become enslaved to the whole world so that you have no king but Caesar. Because Jesus really isn't your king. I hear people singing songs in the church that, you're calling him Lord and Majesty, and the fact is he's not their Lord. They're not seeking the kingdom. They're waiting to die. And the fact is they're dead already. And they need to come alive again. They need to find out what the whole gospel of the kingdom is all about. Someone came to me this week and said that they wanted access to our the documents that the church makes up, and they wanted us to make up documents for them. But they already had a church. They don't want to have any part of our church, which isn't our church, but it's his church. they said that the people in their church are doing 90% of everything the church is supposed to be doing. And I very calmly said, actually, if I was there, I could probably point out that they're not doing 10%, around, at the most, around 10% of what the church should be doing. And of course, he thought, well, I don't know their church. I says, well, I don't, but I am guessing that they're probably doing around 10%. And he says, oh, we do all kinds of work. But the fact is 90% of those people take care of the widows and orphans and needy of their society through, and I'm being generous with 90%. It's probably closer to 99%. Take care of the widows and orphans in their society, in their church, through the benefits of government that exercise authority one over the other. In other words, they pray to benefactors who exercise authority one over the other to take care of their widows and orphans. You know, their indigent, their old age people. That means that they call to these benefactors and say, go out in the streets and go house to house and force people to contribute at the point of a gun so that I will have welfare and Social Security, or so that I will not have to contribute to the welfare and Social Security of other church members. Well, you can't be farther away from Christ, because he said it is not to be that way with you, but that is the way it is with that church. Let's go another step farther. How many of the people in that church send their children to public school? If they do, then they're obtaining a benefit from men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. They send armed men out into the streets to go house to house and force people to contribute to their child's education at the point of a gun, because that's what they're doing. Now, it's legal. I'm not saying that that's not legal. That is legal. And, of course, legal comes from the word to bind. If you look up in law versus legal in the Covenants of the Gods, which you can get free on the net, you'll see that legal comes from, like, slagere, which means to bind. And, yes, the people are bound in a system. They're bound in an Egyptian, Babylonic-type system that says you have to contribute to your neighbor's child's welfare, his education, his health. You have to contribute. And if you don't, you can be thrown in jail. I just heard the other day someone I know locally got a plea bargain agreement sitting on his desk that he has to sign that's going to put him in jail for 2 years because he didn't donate to the welfare of his neighbor according to the dictates of those benefactors who exercise authority. I told them, I warned them against that years ago. But his head was full of patriotic mumbo-jumbo, acceptance for value, UCC, straw man, ideas that are half understood, if that, and got them all in trouble. He's going to be able to keep his wife out of jail if he signs that, but he's going to jail for 2 years. At least that's what I was told the other day. They say, oh, you got the Continental Congress meeting, which is a group of men, small, tiny, tiny fraction of the American public, representing, you know, maybe a dozen people, each representative back home. But yet they say, we're doing the same thing that the Continental Congress did back in 1776, declaring our Declaration of Independence. They aren't doing squat close to what the forefathers did. Forefathers had spent 200 years obtaining lawful ownership of land that was untaxed. They had become a tough nut for any imperial power to crack, quote unquote, from James Truslow's March of Democracy. Untaxed. Why? Because they actually owned their land. They had been using gold and silver in exchange for goods and services. They had a system in place that took care of the needy of their society, the widows, the orphans, the people who fall through the cracks when family falls apart, entirely based on faith, hope, and charity. Schools, public schools, were supported by donations. They were public, but it was by donations. And most of them were operated through the churches, which operated by faith, hope, and charity, and none of which were in corporations. None of them were corporations of the state. As a matter of fact, when Patrick Henry rode into Culpeper, Virginia, and saw a man scourged in the public square till he died of his whip wounds, whipped to death in the public square, he wrote the speech that the chains were already forged. Give me liberty or give me death. That whole speech, first in the Virginia Assembly, then later on he gave it to the Continental Congress. Why was that man whipped? He was whipped because he refused to get a license to preach. That fellow was here, they already got their church. I'll bet you, his minister's got a license to preach, a license to perform state marriages, a license to be 501c incorporated, what have you. He tells me he's been working on that fella. Ah, I can get him kicked out of that church. I don't know. Maybe his pastor isn't that far from the kingdom. And I have to give him the benefit of the doubt as far as his heart is concerned. But he is ignorant and acting ignorantly as far as the precepts of Christ. He has delivered his entire congregation into bondage, as all the other churches. Because they sit up in their pulpits and they blow hot air. And they float you across the horizon into bondage. And that's where you all are. You're back in the bondage of Egypt. God said never go back there. Jesus didn't come to lead you back into bondage. He came to set you free. But you're dead to that. So what are you going to do about it? Well, this is the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And you're not doing it. You're forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare because you're praying daily to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority, something Jesus Christ specifically said not to do. So if your church goes along with the idea it's okay to do that, then your church is not established by Jesus Christ. If you go along with that idea that it's okay to do that, then you don't really believe in Jesus. You don't really believe in Jesus. And you aren't saved. Because he asked, why do you call me Lord and not do the things that I say? He said, only pray to your Father in heaven. But all of you out there at one time or another, well, I shouldn't say all. There are a few. That's another subject we're going to cover at the Unnumbered Forum. All of you, just about, as a qualification word in there, have prayed at one time or another, or obtained at one time or another, a benefit from men who call themselves benefactors, exercise authority. In other words, they don't really give you the money out of their pocket. They give you the money out of your neighbor's pocket. And therefore, because you have coveted your neighbor's goods through the agency of the governments which you have created for yourselves, you have gone into bondage. All the guys at the Continental Congress should understand that. They should understand that they're not in bondage because of what the government is doing. They're in bondage because of what they are doing and have been doing for 100 years. Now, they need to repent and turn around and start seeking the kingdom of God instead of trying to change Pharaoh. Most of the people in the United States of America do not want to give up their benefits. So you can go and protest all you want. You have no right to take their government away from them. That's the government they want. You need to seek an entirely different government. You need to learn to glean in the field at night for your benefits and stop complaining about the fact that you went into bondage and suffer that burden for a season. And that's all you've got is a season to turn around and start creating in your life a relationship with the kingdom of God and his righteousness by taking care of one another. The individual that came here, he says, what do I have to do with the widows and orphans? The widows and orphans aren't going to save me. We should be doing this through family. Hello? Widows and orphans are people whose family are dead or gone or disappeared or incapacitated. That's what a widow and orphan is. You can be an orphan at 75 years of age. If you don't have a family to take care of you, we're supposed to take care of you as a part of our society. Now, that doesn't mean I have to take care of every single person in every single society. Only the society is seeking the kingdom of God. Now, of course, if I'm a good Samaritan, I will help the guy in the ditch and hope that he learn from my charity. That's the red heifer. Learn from my charity, even to foreigners outside of my society, that charity works. Love works. It changes the nature of your being, and it changes the nature of the being of your society, and it will set you free. If you don't do that, you can stand up at the Continental Congress and talk until you're blue in the face, and you will not have changed one thing. And before governments will change, men must change. And the fact is, most of you will not change. So democracy is not going to work. What's going to change is that you repent and come together in another system called the kingdom of God, called the way, called Christianity. Real Christianity, not the artificial thing you've been looking at in your churches. Real Christianity. If your church is not trying to start and encourage homeschooling, home health, home industry. If your church is not keeping track of everybody in it to make sure that all their social welfare needs are met by Faith, Hope, and Charity, then your church is not a church established by Jesus Christ. Whether you're incorporated or not, everybody wants to, oh, don't incorporate your church. Don't file a 1023. Oh, we've got books on that, had them for 10, 15 years. Covenants of the God, Body of Christ versus the Body of the State. We've got all that. It's all free. You know, we're not selling you something. We're telling and preaching the kingdom. And if you want to support that, you go ahead and support it. But we're giving away the books. Okay? They're there. You can download them for free. You can print them out on your printer for free. You want me to send you a copy because you're too lazy to print it out for free? Or you just want, you know, we have them well bound and nice photograph and on good hard paper and all that stuff. And, you know, we'll send them to you for free in on the net. But if you want us to send you the hardbound copy, well, we need to have some money to do that because it costs us money to do it. Yeah, and we asked $25, and it doesn't cost us $25. It costs us about $15 to mail you that. That's absolute minimum cost. But it did cost me 15, 20 years of my life to write the book. But you can download that for free. But if you want me to mail you a copy, it's $25. No big deal. You don't have to. You know, I give a lot of them away anyway. But if you want to support this ministry, if you want to find... See, if you care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself, you'll want to find all the people who will live according to the precepts of Christ, precepts of Abraham, the precepts of Moses. You'll want to find them and help them. And that's what we're trying to do. But like the fellow visiting, he says, we already got our church. He says, I agree with 90% or 99% of everything that I say. Okay. But he's already got his church. Well, what I say, that if you really love your neighbor as yourself, including the members of your church will struggle to find all the other people that are seeing 99% of everything I say. Because I say about 85% of everything I say is different than other churches. And the fact is his church here probably agrees more with what that guy wants than the church that he goes to. But there's a certain feeling that comes to his family by going to that church, and that's what he's duplicating. But he's not really working at the kingdom. Now, he may. You know, we talked about that. He's gone away with the information that if you love your neighbor as yourself in your congregation, your local congregation, your congregation as a body will want to find other congregations. It just will by nature. It will be compelled by its own heart, by its accumulative mutual brotherhood and heart, to want to find others. They won't sit there secure in their little congregation saying, hey, we love Jesus, we are doing 90%, but we're not trying to find anybody else. Well, that's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense. That's insane. You know, in the second half of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about leadership. How the government of God works. And how it's not working now for many people who think that they're a part of the government of God. Because they really don't love the character of God. See, we were made in the image of God. That means we're like God in our nature. But we have become unnatural creatures. We are not like God in our nature. We are like Satan in our nature. We are doing more in common with Satan than we are with God. Oh, we're full of praises and ear ticklers and singing our songs and thinking, you know, hearing the preacher saying, you are children of God. Everybody smiles and goes, yeah, yeah, we're children of God. Oh, yeah. But you're not. You're not children of God. Because you're not like God. You're not like Him. You give Him lip service, but you're not doing the things that He says. You're not doing 10%, 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%. You're doing something quite different. And you need to find out what Christ wanted us to do and do that. That's very important, that you find what Christ wanted you to do. And people aren't doing it. And the reason they aren't doing it is because most of your preachers are full of hot air. They're not preaching the kingdom of heaven. They're doing something quite different than preaching the kingdom of heaven, and it's very, very bad for us all. We need to change that. We need to change our ways. So, what are you going to do to change? You should be on the...
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite. Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free, or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
Have you seen Loose Change? The most popular documentary in the 911 truth movement. With the coming change in government, now is the time to push for justice and get this truth into the hands of millions of Americans. First Amendment Radio is offering both videos, Loose Change and 911 Justice on DVD. We will ship two copies of both videos to you for $10 cash. Yes, two copies, one for you and one for you to give away. You will see and hear Larry Silverstein admit that they decided to pull the building. Why are they not being pursued? The people must know. Justice must be had. The time is now. Two copies of both videos, Loose Change and 911 Justice, for $10 cash. No checks, please. To First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274.
Well, we're talking here about the kingdom of God, some of the things that you can do now, and I'm supposed to be in South Carolina, Fort Mill, go to Acts in Motion to find out more details. Come the 2nd of December to around the 9th of December for teaching seminar, or I'm not sure what we're calling it, but it's a gathering. And Acts in Motion will give you the information. We've posted it on the Kingdom News list. You can find out if you're in that area of Carolina, Georgia, and Florida. You should be on the network already, and you would be getting the emails in that area. Anybody who is getting the Kingdom News list should be joining the network, a local group, Colorado, California, up here in Oregon. We actually include Oregon, Washington, Idaho. But you just go to the network and you'll have a list of all the states. If you're in Australia, you should join up there and find out who Mark Finucci is and George. And if you're in Canada, David Kennedy, and find out who all the other people are in Canada. Get on that network, introduce yourself, find the other people. If you care about others as much as you care about yourself, you'll be joining the network automatically. We found out that it filtered a great many troublemakers out of the system, out of our email groups, simply by going to this method, that you actually have to try to find others. Because the people who aren't trying to find others and help others, you don't want to have anything to do with them because they don't know Christ. Oh, they got words and they're born again, they're saved and all this, but they don't know Christ. They're just in their heads. They're saved in their heads, and they're dead in their hearts. It's only the people that care about one another as much as they care about themselves that are suitable for the kingdom. So we created a little obstacle that you actually have to go out and try to find others. And we created a nice, easy path to get there. It's like getting sheep from one field to another. You open up the gate wide, and they just, oh, we don't want to go through that gate. We're afraid, you know. And so you actually have to create an obstacle, and you lay down your staff, and you say, you can't get into this field unless you jump over my staff. And then all the sheep will start trying to jump over the staff to get into this new green field. And God maketh us to lie down in green pastures. He doesn't make us to be slaves and human resources. And he doesn't maketh us to be in bondage, but to be free souls. But to be free souls, you have to take on the responsibility and character of Christ. Christ came to save others. If you come to our groups with the intention of saving yourself, you're not going to get anywhere because you don't know Christ. He didn't come to save himself. He came to save others. Oh, you believe in Jesus, but you don't believe in sacrificing yourself. You don't believe in contributing to the welfare of others. You don't believe in helping others. You just want your problems to go away. I mean, I've had people stand right there and say that. Well, you should be under tribute. And we're not going to do anything to help you get out from underneath tribute. Not a thing. And we don't feel bad about it at all. Now, people want to know, well, how do you get out of the system? And people, you know, I've gotten letters and emails, and last week I get phone calls. People are asking that. Well, get into the system of Christ, and you will be rejected by the system of the world. But if you won't be able to survive in the days to come. You need to seek the righteousness of God. And if you're not doing that, if you're not trying to create that charitable institution that our forefathers had firmly in place before the American Revolution ever started, the violent one, the American, true American Revolution was the fact that everybody was taking care of one another. They had to. This was a harsh environment. Half the separatists were dead the first year. They wanted to be separate, but they didn't want to come together by faith, hope, and charity. And they began to perish. And they realized that communism is a bad thing. And we've gone back that way again. They knew that they had to up their own resources by diligently working and then be willing to share those with others in their community by free will offerings. Now, if you don't know that, you're wasting your time at the Continental Congress. You're wasting your time pretending that you're born again or saved or any of those things. I had people in the local community wanted to start a clinic to help people out. Great idea. I would volunteer to help them too. But the day they decided to put it on the tax rolls, I didn't go down there anymore. I told them, you can't do that. It's no longer of Christ if you're going to force your neighbor. But we need the clinic. We need the clinic, and it would do so much good. How can you do good by doing evil? How can you do good by coveting your neighbor's goods? You should be in bondage. And the families, the heads of the families who thought this way, they have no families. One has no offspring. They have sons, but they never got married, never had any children. They have no grandsons, granddaughters. They're all gone. They're all going to die out. The other one, their family's all breaking up. You know, divorces and alcoholism. And what is? Because they don't know Jesus. Oh, they think they do, but they don't. There's no guarantee your family will do the right thing. Your children will do the right thing. Even a good father may have a prodigal son. But you must keep the faith by seeking to help others. So by creating this network where you actually have to work to help others, only those who have the leadership of Christ will rise to the surface. And so I said I was going to talk a little bit about leadership. There are several words in the Bible that are translated into leader or words like leader, captain, etc. One of them is how you would pronounce it in Hebrew is difficult to say because there are no vowels in that particular word, but it's Shemresh, Sar. There's also Shemreshresh, two Reshes. Resh has to do with loyalty, authority. Well, each of us has authority over our own selves when we're born. God gives us that right to choose. Shemresh means that you are your own leader. Shemreshresh means that somebody else has extra power to lead you. Now, the leaders in the church lead, but they don't rule. They're not Shemreshresh. They're Shemresh. They have every right to decide how they're going to lead. And if you want to contribute to them, assist them, aid them, you have to choose to do so. Give them $800. It's their $100 to use as they see fit. If they don't do a good job, it's your responsibility. Make sure you don't give them another $100. But they're still the leader. And that's why you're donating to them. They're doing a good job of cutting brush and opening the trail and blazing the trail and showing the way. So you support them. But when you give to them, it's gone. It's given. But tomorrow you can decide whether you will give to them again. Now the kingdoms of the world, it isn't that way. You choose your leader. He not only gets to do with your donation what he wants, he can force the next donation. He's your king. He's your ruler. You can tell me that Jesus is your Lord, but you just made him ruler. You picked your Saul, and you're back in the bondage of Egypt again. Different. That's a simple difference between the government of God and the governments of the men. Governments of men is government by men, over men, for whatever those government men want. But the government of God is the government of the people, for the people, and by the people, where each individual gets to decide how much he's going to pay in taxes and to whom. And this is what Christ was saying. How much can you afford? This is what we need from you. Well, I can't afford that. Well, what can you afford? I can afford this much. Okay, paid in full. We give you the choice. He's telling you how the government of God works. But, oh, no, it's just a parable about, forgiving debt. Well, there's huge debt in the United States, and everybody's a surety for debt. That's another thing people say, oh, well, you got this birth certificate, and that's your collateral for the debt. And what they do is they sell your birth certificate on bonds. There are guys who research this. Yeah, I research this. I'm not finding the evidence of what they say, and I agree that you are a surety for debt. And the birth certificate is the foundational document of that. But it isn't the complete document. It doesn't bind you by itself. We have our own birth certificates at the church. And if you want to get state birth certificates, you can. And that is the first step in a process of becoming a surety for debt. We all hear that in the news, that every American in the United States, every U.S. citizen is what it is, every resident is what it is in debt for whatever it is, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $120,000 or whatever. You're in debt for that amount. And the same thing went on in Rome, 168 A.D., you had to register your children. Christians wouldn't, because they had another system, another government. And they write about that in 150 A.D. and explain that to Antoninus Pius, emperor of Rome, who taught Marcus Aurelius, who imposed birth certificates within 30 days of the birth. You had to go down to the treasury or local regent, who would then send the paperwork into the treasury, because you were all collateral for the debt of Rome, because they had to borrow money in order to keep their foreign wars and fight off all those terrorists that were coming down from Germanica, who were trying to undermine their way of life. Of course, when a lot of them got there, they embraced the Christians, believe it or not. I know, they're all a bunch of barbarians and all this kind of stuff, but you've been taught history by people who have been fooling you for a lot longer than 100 years. But anyway, it's very simple what the kingdom is, but it's voluntary. There is absolutely no place for apathy. We've got over 30 people on the group in Colorado, and you guys have not picked a contact minister yet. Not one single one. You should have half a dozen or almost a dozen you could have. Easy. And then that would put you into the network, and you'd be getting all the information that's going out. You'd be able to help work together with other contact ministers to come up with solutions to move towards the kingdom. Instead, some of you are out at the Continental Congress, standing up there self-aggrandizing. Is that how you say that? Self-promoting. Trying to speak as if you are as noble as the Founding Fathers. But you're not. You're not doing what the Founding Fathers did. They took care of one another. When they went to church, that church wasn't there to make them feel like they went to church. Oh, people are even tithing to these churches that are seducing people into doing nothing. They actually tithe to those churches. We don't have anybody hardly tithing to us. I mean, I don't think we have anybody tithing to us, period. That's okay, you know. We're dedicated, and God has maybe tested us over the years. That's fine. Though he may slay me, we shall serve him. But we should be taking care of one another. We have no funds hardly to do that. I mean, we'll be accommodating a couple tomorrow that's coming here to visit and talk about things. We've accommodated other ministers for, you know, days and weeks at a time. And we do this without charge. And that's the way we operate. We don't keep a close accounting. We do what we can, when we have the opportunity. But, you know, there are millions upon millions upon millions of orphans in the world today. I just heard a report, Soviet Union has almost 1 million orphans in orphanages. It's not counting, you know, foster care or parents, single parents that are, or grandparents that are taking care of. These are the ones that are actually in orphanages. It is so bad to raise a child in an orphanage. We would never want to start an orphanage. We would want, except for a temporary holding a child until we can place them with parents. And we could do that. We're building a network that could do that. But we don't have, we cannot do that all ourselves. We have to have the network in place supporting the idea of taking care of others. I'm a firm believer that most children should be taken care of in the community in which they live. And if they're not, then there's not much we can do about it. And that's what we have to do, is find those rare people who actually care about others as much as they care about themselves. I don't care if you tell me you believe in Jesus. I want to see you living like Jesus, who gave up his life for others. If you're not doing that, have a nice day. I'm not going to I'm not going to show you the way to liberty. You're the slothful, and you should be under tribute. That's the way it is. I mean, might as well get it over with right now, because later on, all you'll be is a drag and a burden on the society established by Christ. You won't keep with it. You'll be interested in your own vanities. Yeah, you know, you'll be jealous. You'll be envious. You'll be slothful with us, and we'll be dragging your carcass all around as if you were still alive. We're not that stupid. We'll let the dead bury the dead. We have to get on with the kingdom. The kingdom is a vast network of people who care about each other as much as they care about themselves. It is so simple. It is unbelievably simple. yes, there's a lot of technicalities you need to know in order to function in the world, but not of it. And we know many of those, and we are learning more all the time. But we're not going to cast pearls to swine. If you're not a part of the solution, which is the kingdom, and seeking that kingdom for yourself and for others, then you're a part of the problem. Have a nice day. I'm not giving you any more secrets. We don't divulge all the secrets on the radio. You think we're nuts? There are mysteries, secrets to seeking the kingdom. It is given unto those who are doing the work and making the walk. It is not given unto those who are talking a talk. So if you want to know more, you have to do more. How do I know if you really believe? Well, like it says, I judge you by your fruits. Now, am I the only one with this knowledge? No. There's all kinds out there. You shouldn't have any trouble finding one of them if you're following the Holy Spirit. If you're having trouble finding people who have the answer, and you're about to go to jail for the stupid people that you have followed before, the leaders you have chosen for yourself, you know, it isn't the leaders that are the problem. It's the followers. People who follow George Bush, Obama. You have to have a certain character to follow those men. You have to be looking to government to solve your problems. That's foolishness. It was foolishness at the time of Samuel. It's foolishness now. Americans, early Americans, didn't do that. They weren't nearly as enthusiastic as you would suspect that George Washington became president. No, they thought he was a great guy, and he was a pretty good guy. But most of what they needed, they provided for themselves. You do a search on hisholychurch.org for Davy Crockett and read the article there. I'd like to put more and more up, but I only have so much time I can devote to this. I do it in my extra time, and, you know, as I get older, I can't quite do the 16, 20-hour days I used to do. I just can't do it. Where I work 8 hours, 10 hours at manual labor in order to support this ministry. And then try to spend another 8 hours writing and organizing these people. We need the network. Each individual state needs dozens of contact ministers that are working to bring people together because they care about others as much as they care about themselves. They're not out trying to grandstand somewhere about pretending to be like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson when they're not doing anything whatsoever like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. They're not taking care of one another. I always remember the story of George Washington. I don't know if we have enough time for it. Yeah, that someone had met George Washington on the road. He didn't know it was George Washington. He had overturned his buggy with his new bride, and all their stuff was in the water, and his bride was all wet, and George came along and helped them get the buggy righted again and put all his luggage back in for him as he was trying to comfort his wife and hold the horse, and he got them all out of the river and loaded them all up and then rode off, and he didn't get the guy's name. Well, he found out later that was George Washington, the President of the United States. Different times. I don't think you would get that kind of response from presidents you have today, because you, as followers, have created a gigantic beast who started out with two little horns of power, and now that beast roaring who it will, because you have abandon the gospel of the kingdom of God in order to go off and pretend to be the kind of person that George Washington was or Thomas Jefferson. And those were not the best men of America. They were very prominent, and they had way far more character than the men we see today leading you. But you get the leaders you deserve. because you're not really led by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God, by the nature of God, by the character of God. You're not made in the image of God anymore. You've been remade in some sort of selfish creature that wants somebody else to bow down to them or serve them or do stuff for you or whatever it is. You create the leaders by the character of your person. And if you had the character of Christ, you would not be doing that. You would be struggling every day to set other men free, to get the message out of the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of individual responsibility, first for yourself, then for your family, then for your community, to the point where 50% of everything you do is for others besides yourself. You've become a man of service. Not a Shemresh-resh, but a Shemresh, a leader, a revolutionary leader seeking the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. And then you'll start to bear the fruit of that kingdom. And then we will reveal to you what God has revealed to us about those mysteries. And I'm sure that many of you will bring to that table things that we have not yet been revealed. Because it's a body. Each of you has a portion of that mystery in your own heart. But you have to live it. You have to be the kingdom. You have to not just have an attitude or an idea. You have to have a beatitude. And that's where we need to go. To seek that kingdom. Until we meet again, may peace be upon your house, and God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.